The Bad Date Diaries. A mid-morning, completely sober snog. Spring 2014. I wake up to my alarm on a Saturday at 9 a.m, having had 5 hours sleep. There is a WhatsApp message from dishy American Martin.
Dollface, we still on for a cup of joe?
My head feels like it has been turned inside out like a dirty sock, but I tell him I'll be there. We matched on Tinder 3 days ago, and it's been a solid stream of, no way, that's my favourite Springsteen album. I believe in reincarnation too. Yes, perhaps we are all wanderers.
And so on.
In this moment, as I search my room for last night's fake eyelashes and glue them back on, I am convinced he will be my boyfriend by the end of next week, and I will move to Seattle with him next month. For this is the only logical solution in the head of a single, hungover woman who is embarrassed that she fell off a bus the night before. Marriage and emigration. The outfit. A huge Aran jumper so oversized it hangs like a dress. Denim hot pants, because all my jeans are dirty. A pair of laddered tights and white plimsolls.
No coat?
My hungover housemate AJ croaks as I rush past her on the stairs. No need, I say breezily.
You stink of Bailey's, by the way,
she shouts as I close the door. Martin sits at the bar of Caravan King's Cross. Thankfully, he is identical to his pictures. He's writing in a notebook as I arrive, which I think adds a nice touch of theatre to the whole nomadic lost soul agenda he pushes with his whimsical Instagram account, which I've already stalked.
What are you writing? I ask over his shoulder.
He turns, looks at me and smiles.
None of your business, he replies and kisses me on both cheeks.
It is already extremely flirty, and we haven't even had a coffee, let alone 6 beers. I think it's because he is American. Martin tells me the story of his life. Illustrator from Seattle nearing 40, earned a load of money from a big job and decided to use it to travel the world for a year and write a book. He's doing some Tinder tourism to meet new people. He's been in England for a month. He wants a few more weeks in London, then he's on his travels again. After our coffees, we sit outside the cafe on a bench, staring at the water fountain spurting in a rhythmic, pornographic way, and he quotes Hemingway, which I think is a little overkill, but I am enjoying the fanciful tone of the date, so I go along with it. He gets out another notebook that he's illustrated with maps of every country he's visited so far, his tracks sketched as twee footprints. I ask if he has a girl in every port. He laughs and says,
something like that,
in his annoying, wonderful accent. He takes me by the hand and leads me down the steps at the front of Central St. Martin's Art College to the canal. We walk a little until we stand under the nearest bridge. Then he unbuttons his coat, pulls me in and wraps it around me. He kisses my head, my cheeks, my neck, and my lips. We kiss for half an hour. The time is 11 a.m. Martin and I part ways at 11:30 and thank each other for the lovely morning. I'm back in bed by 12:30 and sleep all afternoon. I wake up at 4, convinced I dreamt the whole thing. Predictably, Martin falls off radar after our coffee morning and is vague about when our next date is when he does get in touch. A week later, tanked up on Friday night Prosecco and encouraged by my friends, I send Martin a WhatsApp message riddled with spelling mistakes asking if I may be frank and suggesting we embark on a platonic but sexual relationship while he is in London. I suggest I become his girl in the London port. I tell him it's what Hemingway would do. Martin never messages me again.